folders.
Conditional use number 2089, filed have Massey Landing Properties LLC.
So this is a request for to amend a condition of approval. County Council held a public hearing on August 29th, 2017. The County Council deferred action for further consideration. The Planning Commission did hold a public hearing, and they made a decision on August 24th of 2017, and they actually recommended denial of the request. And that did go, was approved 5-0. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions of council? Mm-hmm. Questions of council? Mr. Moore, would you read the short title?
Yes, an ordinance granting a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an amendment to ordinance number 2378 for conditional use number 1963 for a campground to amend condition of approval number 9 relating to parking of park model RVs and campground food trailers to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 54.33 acres, more or less.
Pleasure, Council.
I'll make that. Go ahead. Did you?
I did have a question, but I'll wait for the motion.
I'll make a motion. That
motion,
we
Mr. Cole.
Adopt the ordinance.
Motion, Mr. Change. Cole. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. Questions on the motion?
I do. To me, it's beyond what was just presented, because I'm trying to get really in my own mind the clarification, and I'm asking this publicly because I think it's relevant. What is the legal definition per our code of a campground, and versus what's there today versus what's throughout this county today? I think that's, in my own mind, that is the crux of this whole issue, is what is a real definition of a campsite versus what's being asked of the applicant?
Well, they went through the conditional use process that has requirements in the conditional use section for a campground. The intent was for it to be transient, for mobile campers, tents, camp trailers, touring vans, and the like, and then there's a list of conditions that they need to comply with.
But is it in the code, the list of actual type of dwellings?
Park or campground for mobile campers, tents, camp trailers, touring vans, and the like. That is what the code references.
And alike. So I guess that creates a little gray area there.
Well, the like was, when was that adopted? Does it have a date on that, when that campground ordinance was originally adopted or whatever? Because
looks like it was amended in 2010, and it was amended in 1992 and amended in 2010.
Okay. The park model was kind of a new product back in, I guess, the 90s, as I'm guessing, or something. And the park model had to go to the Motor V, and the Motor V didn't know what to do with it, so they referred to it as a RV because it was a certain size. And I think that falls under the like, I guess.
Yeah, as it went through with the original conditional use, it was always included that park models were part of the conditional use. So the use of park models in the campground was recognized as a permitted housing type to fall in with the mobile campers, tents, camp trailers, etc.
Which are all transient mobile type of units.
Correct.
Actually, there was a lot of question during the hearing about the transient nature of this, and this question was raised by council quite vividly and expressly about that. And irregardless of what the code section says here for like the actual conditional use that's being requested be changed was very specific, and it did address the park models in the conditional uses, one of the conditions.
Originally, when it was approved.
Yes, that is correct.
So I guess the question that I will continue to ask, and that is this mini home, if you would, the 400 square home that's up for the discussion of transporting or not, is that a permitted dwelling in a campground?
Yes.
It is a permitted, so the other question would be is it okay to be there permanently, quote unquote, or is it not? And again, I'll ask that question. Is it permitted in our code to allow a permanent structure in a campground? Because is it based on the structure, or is it based on the who's occupying the structure?
A bathhouse can be, obviously, will be permanent.
There can be certain permanent structures in the home, but again, for purposes of this, again, going back to the hearing and the discussion, it was discussed, were the campers going to be staying there, you know, season-long? Was this going to be transient? Were those park models going to be transient or not? There is nothing that I'm aware of that would prohibit the park models if there were not otherwise a condition from staying there.
From Janelle. Staying there. So you're saying in the code it's permissible for it to stay there.
It's the condition that was very clear that stated that they could not.
And there's also a code section that says no permanent structures for human occupation or manufactured homes other than the ones used by the park manager are permitted in a campground.
Right.
And again, their original request was to leave them on site but park them out of the floodplain.
Right.
Leave them on site but park them outside of the flood zone.
Correct.
Based on testimony from 2 weeks ago, if I recall, or 3 weeks ago, whenever that was, if it was granted to allow them to stay here, they would have to be above, or quote unquote, out of the flood zone.
That is if they are left in place. If they're just parked, if they leave them where they are, they would have to meet floodplain requirements because they would be anchored down. Their original request was to take them off, put them in the parking lot instead of taking them down the road and storing them. And the original request was to store them on site.
Is the whole site in the flood zone?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
More questions?
Depends whether you get a 2-foot rain or not, or 4-foot.
Hearing no more questions, we'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett.
I have two concerns here. Number one, what the original request was from the applicant, and what I mean by that was it was approved and agreed to transport. Now, granted, the number that was proposed or provided in testimony was $150,000 round trip to move them. So, you know, I'm still uncertain whether the code permits it or not, the ability to, and I think we have probably an issue throughout this county of permanent buildings in campgrounds that are not permitted, but it's a separate discussion with reference to this. At the same time, I mean, I have been to the property, visually speaking, and I think what is there is perhaps is a pleasurable view or site of a dwelling. I mean, if we're trying to create a little bit of an upscale camping, I think that is it. The concern that I have, again, is do we need a separate code or a separate area within our zoning to better specify or better define this dwelling? And I think that's, I don't know the answer to that today. I don't know. You know, based on the testimony, and I think based on, I would say our attorney just saying that there's nothing that prevents it. I still struggle with this, truth be told. But I think in the end, and if it's granted, they have to still abide by the flood zones and various things. So I'm going to, for that purpose, I'm going to say yes today.
Burton.
Based on the record before planning and zoning and the hearing before council, I move to recommend denial of this application to amend condition 9 of the ordinance number 2378 for conditional use 1963 relating to park model RVs and campground food trailers based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. The applicant is requesting a modification of condition number 9 of the conditional use approval for the resort at Massey's Landing to allow park model RVs, the campground food trailers to either be stored on paved areas outside the floodplain or to be tied down like manufacturers' homes, according to section 115-141.5b, paragraph 3 of the zoning code. The applicants are basically asking to convert park model RVs into permanently located manufactured homes on the campsite. Section 115-141.5b, paragraph 3, states that a manufactured home in this location must be elevated on a permanent reinforced foundation with anchors and tie downs. They become permanent structures. Section 115-172.h, paragraph 9, states that no permanent structures for human occupation or manufactured homes other than the ones used by the park managers are permitted in the campground. This section prohibits the conversion of these RVs into permanently anchored structures like a manufactured home. Council made the determination that these units must be completely removed from the property when they approved the campground ordinance because of a large area of the campground is in a flood zone and the entire site is known by everyone to be historically prone to flooding. Permitting park model RVs and campground food trailers to become permanent structures is tantamount to the challenging use from a campground and an RV park to a manufactured home park with a permanent commercial food vendors located in the campground, which is beyond the scope of conditional use 1963. At the time of the original hearing, Council weighed all evidence presented at the Planning and Zoning Commission, Sussex County Council hearing, including the extensive concerns of numerous tenants and neighboring property owners in the community in the Long Neck area, the general public, council, and staff. Council attached certain conditions to the conditional use number 1963, including condition number 9, to ensure that the project was in keeping with the character of the neighborhood and as a campground RV park in compliance with the Sussex County Zoning Code. Conditional use number 1963 was highly contentious prior to approval. However, the applicant was amenable to the inclusion of condition number 9 at the time of the conditional use of 1963 was approved. Mere inconvenience and cost are not sufficient to warrant the request modification to condition number 9. Applicant voluntarily made a business decision to install 32 park model RVs, knowing that each would be required to be removed at the end of each season and when the campground is closed. The applicant's decision to continue increasing the number of park models is being made subject to condition number 9 requiring for seasonal removal as well. At the original Planning and Zoning Commission hearing, the applicant representative testified that a park model RV can be unhooked and removed from a site within 20 minutes. This poses no undue burden on the applicant. The record contains no evidence to justify the revision of any condition of approval.
Your vote is to deny. No.
Yep.
Okay. Mr. Wilson.
I vote for the same reason that Mr. Burton had just read here. So my vote is no.
Just to start out, I did support the original application. I felt that the campground was a compatible use in the surrounding area because Long Neck Road does have a history of mobile home parks, campgrounds, and permanently, nice subdivisions, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, with that being said, I did visit the site. I visited from the water side. I actually rode by it, and I was kind of disturbed by how the park models, which I think was a concern of Mr. Burton had cited, being in a flood zone. Anyway, there was actually erosion right up to the porch of it right now. So it's the proximity is so close to the water. And this is an environmentally sensitive developing district. And I think the permanent placement of those units, on a 12-month basis will cause more severe environmental damage than they would if they're just placed there, you know, temporarily, and like the original concept. So I was disturbed with what I saw. I didn't like it. And so I concur with these reasons that Mr. Burton had cited. One of them was that the council, being us, had made this determination that these units must be completely removed from the property when they approved the campground, the campground ordinance, because a large area of the campground is in a flood zone. So the idea is that they want to place a lot of these in these areas that are subject. And I would dare say, if I had enough nerve to take my little boat over there today, there was water flooding the area because they were calling for flood conditions today. So with that being said, I still am supporting the original conditions. I support planning and zoning's reasons and the reasons as stated by Mr. Burton.
And your vote is
no.
No. Okay.
Yeah. No,
sorry. Checking.
Yep.
I got it. I think two things. One, I think in the decision made by planning and zoning, and they certainly specify two parts of the code, 115-141.B5B3 and 115-172.H9. And certainly if you leave the structure there, it becomes a permanent structure. And the code says you only have one permanent structure for the park manager, so that kind of it doesn't. So I agree with what planning and zoning's decision was. I agree with the words and statement Mr. Burton read off. And for that reason, I'm going to vote no. Next.
Thank you. The next item under old business is conditional use 2095 Sposato Investment LLC. The County Council held a public hearing on August 29th, 2017, and deferred action for further consideration. Again, this is a request to amend a condition of approval, and this is for the hours of operation. They were originally approved from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and they were asking to allow for certain members to show up at 5 a.m., then additional workers to show up, the management to show up at 6, and then allow employees to then begin showing up at 6:30 with them beginning the business hours at 7. Planning Commission did hold a public hearing and recommended a modified request for their condition approval, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions of council? Questions of council? Mr. Moore, if you read the short title.
Yes, Mr. President. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an amendment to ordinance number 1533 for conditional use number 1446 for a landscaping business with outdoor storage to request an amendment to condition number 3 regarding hours of operation to be located on certain parcel of land buying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 5.0 acres, more or less.
Pleasure, Council.
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlette. Any questions on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette.
I am, based on the record before the Planning and Zoning Commission and the hearing before Council, I move to recommend denial of this application. Of conditional use number 1446 and ordinance number 1533 regarding hours of operation based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. County Council approved the conditional use in 2002 for a landscaping business. There were several conditions attached to this approval. Currently, condition number 3 of the conditional use states that business hours shall be from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. There shall be no Sunday hours. The applicant seeks to amend condition number 3 to generally state business hours. Three mechanics may arrive on site at 5 a.m. Management may arrive on site at 6 a.m. and the remaining employees to arrive at 6:30 a.m. to prepare for daily operations with the daily end of all operations by 7 p.m. There shall be no Sunday hours. The approved condition use is located in otherwise agricultural and residential area. There must be some exception of noise from nearby permitted agricultural uses, but not on a daily basis starting at 5 a.m. At the time of the original hearing, Council weighed all evidence presented at the Planning and Zoning Commission and Sussex County Council hearings, including any adverse impact on neighboring properties. It is not appropriate to allow mechanical and maintenance work on the vehicles and equipment to start at 5 a.m. 6 days a week, the early morning vehicle traffic and noise, including truck backup beeping, as well as the operation of power equipment and other general operation or noises, is not compatible with the residential surroundings. Although the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of modified hours of operation less than what the applicant requested, the record before council does not support that recommendation. Several parties testified in opposition to the application, stating that the use has intensified on the site and that the noise generated even at the permitted hours is excessive for this neighborhood and the neighboring properties. As a result, no increase in the early morning hours of operation would be appropriate at this location. The applicant acquired this property subject to the conditions that were contained in the ordinance. The hours of operation were put in place to protect this rural residential area from early morning noise and traffic. Knowing, or at least on notice of, these conditions, the applicant had the option to not purchase the property if it did not suit the needs of the business or adapt their business practices to what was previously approved. Under those circumstances, there is no basis to change the hours of operation. The record contains no evidence to justify this, the revision of any condition of approval. We support the business and their expansion. However, all businesses have limitations within, this is an ag and AR zone property. So I think if indeed the business wants to continue to grow and expand, which we would want and encourage for them to do so, perhaps another parcel would be more appropriate. And therefore, in this particular situation, I will vote no.
Burton.
I agree with Mr. Arlette's reasonings for voting no, and I vote no as well. I think 7 to 7 is a 12-hour day, and I think that should be enough to get the job done. So my vote is no.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote that we can modify it and change hours from 7 to 7.
So your vote is a yes?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, sir.
No, he said 7 to 7.
I thought you said you didn't want to modify it.
Modify it from 7 to 7.
Well, that's not modifying.
That's what it is.
That's what it is today.
They want 5 to 7.
They want 5 to 7.
What they've asked for is change it from 7 to 7 to 5 to 7. The vote has been to not allow that from Mr. Arlette and from Mr. Burton.
Oh, they want 7 to 7?
No, they want 5 to 7.
5 to 7. I recommend changing from 7 to 7.
Which is what it is today. So you recommend to vote no on the application to change it to different hours?
Vote no to change it, yes.
Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. Cole.
The AR1 district is a residential zone, and there should be a high bar for any commercial activity permitted in this zone. And the original application was for a small operation. You would maybe consider like a mom and pop type of operation, and it was purchased by a large commercial landscaper who's very successful in this county. And as Mr. Arlette read off, there was some concern maybe that they maybe outgrown this location for their needs. It was purchased with certain conditions, and I think those conditions are sufficient. And again, it's important for the county council to make sure that if we permit commercial operations in residential districts, that it makes a good fit. And I'm concerned that maybe this isn't a good fit anymore because they've gotten so large. But anyway, so my vote is no on changing anything.
I also agree with Mr. Arlette's reasons for denying. It is an AR1 district. When they bought the property, it was zoned with conditions that it had. I see no reason to change those conditions because I think there are a lot of homes, and this is virtually a commercial business in the middle of AR district with a conditional use. I'm certainly glad that they're very successful and wish them much success. But at where the proper location is, I don't think it warrants changing the operating hours. So my vote's no. Motion defeated. Grant request, Mrs. Jennings, Laurel.